DJ Veej Prakash. Welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
It's going very well. So we're going to preview the Cambridge Jazz Festival. For the listeners that are maybe newer to us, Veej, you've been on the show once before with the Brass Funkies album preview.
Yeah, that's right. That was about a year ago now when we released our second album.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. That's so long ago. And this is our 80th show, the 80th episode.
My God.
I know. It's just not going away. People are trying and it's not going.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So you're like our man on the ground. You're at ground zero here. And the idea is that you're going to fill the show with some information. Doesn't have to be a lot, but some thinly veiled attempt at making it more than just me.
Sounds great.
Yeah, okay, sick. So the Cambridge Jazz Festival starts on the 13th of November and runs to the 27th. So it's 15 nights of live jazz.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. I think it's in its third year now, and it's kind of just grown exponentially, really. It's pretty crazy the fact that in a town like Cambridge, which is a city, really, but not a huge city, there's multiple gigs every single night of the week, and some amazing musicians coming through the town, which is great.
And it has a really strong scene, and has had for years, as you know, as a music hub for the number of musicians that come through it as well,
right? Yeah, you know? I mean, because of the town itself, there's a good healthy music scene, but also because of the university, you get a load of great musicians from all over the world who kind of make it their home for between 3 and 5 years and really influence a lot of things when they're there.
Yeah, and for me, like, you're one of those people where when I tell them that I know you, everyone's like, oh yeah, I know Veej, great. You know, so for me, it's a social all access pass, especially in Cambridge. You know, that's opened doors for me. I won't lie to you.
Oh, lovely.
The door to your house.
One of the things that's nice about the Cambridge jazz scene that I've found, especially kind of reconnecting with it a little bit in the last couple of years, is just how friendly it is, really. It's very open and people are very receptive to each other's music. It's really nice.
Yeah, that is a wonderful situation to work in, for sure. I forgot to mention that we started with Dynamo Blues, one of your band, the Brass Funkies' very own tunes, one of my favourites.
Oh, great.
Probably should have mentioned that, but well, we have now. So should we talk about some of the gigs?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the gigs, because there's loads going on. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the beginning with the usual disclaimer that you can just go on the website if this show is incredibly annoying. Like, it's all there online.
It is all there, yeah. So cambridgejazzfestival.info is the one.
Yep.
I think.
But if you want to feel guided gently through the brochure, then this is the place to be. So the first night is Leanne Carroll, Ian Shaw and the London Gay Big Band.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I mean, those two are real kind of stalwarts of the London jazz scene, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And just unbelievable musicians. So, and both, I'm pretty excited to hear both of them standing in front of a big band. I think that'll be pretty special.
That will be cool. And the London Gay Big Band has been running for several years. I forgot to write down how many in my notes because that's the kind of guy I am. But they're like predominantly but not entirely LGBT musicians that play in it, which is as well incredibly interesting and exciting that such a band exists.
Yeah, I think it must be a really, really great thing to be a part of.
Here we are. Founded in the summer of 2011, a sensational 20-piece jazz orchestra made up predominantly but not exclusively of LGBT musicians and vocalists brings a fresh and fabulous vibe to the London music scene. And they were semi-finals in Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah, they performed in front of a television audience of 7 million people.
Wow. I didn't watch that. I wasn't one of the 7 million, but
me either.
But that's great.
That is really something. If I go until age 70 as planned with this show, hopefully we'll get somewhere near that 7 million mark.
Yeah, collectively, yeah. That can be your thing, can't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Like, maybe that's when you stop.
I like that.
7 millionth listen.
Well, at that point, not only do I stop, but all of the shows are removed. Oh, man. So there's another gig on the second or third night. The third night. This is Thursday the 15th. Alex Hitchcock, the Hitchcock Law Casimir Michael Band.
Michelle. That's right. Mark Michelle.
You see, that's why I'm not allowed to do this show on my own.
So, yeah, I mean, that's good. That's a pretty all-star lineup, really, isn't it? That's going to be heavy. Alex obviously spent quite a lot of time in Cambridge. He studied English for his undergrad. And he's a bit of a fan's favourite around the city because people are sort of used to him and his amazing sounds. So that'll be a packed night, I'm sure.
That'd be cool. And Ant Law, they've both been on the show, actually, Alex and Ant. Ant was only like 3 weeks ago. He's, you know, famous for playing in Tim Garland's band, among other things. He has his own album out.
Crazy tunings on his guitar and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that night as well, Tony Kofi's down with his band, which is obviously a thing. And then Richard Spavin.
Man, that's a hell of an evening.
Yeah, Richard Spavin as well with the trio and Skelter supporting them, who you and me both know, Sam Healy's band.
Yeah.
From up in Manchester, doing some electronic-y stuff, but really well.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Skelter, they supported Noah on their tour earlier this year as well. They have a new album out too. I hope that's right. I'm just saying this stuff like it's a fact.
Sounds plausible.
It does sound highly plausible. Skelter's sumptuous, technically proficient saxophone solos are combined with mysterious samples, synths and loops for a heart-wrenching and thoughtful cascade of modern, technical, soulful funk. And luckily I was right. They also supported Dinosaur on this Oslo.
Oh, great. Oslo Dinosaur Jersey. Will be down in Cambridge as well later in the week or the next week. I think with, who are they with?
They're with Big Bad Wolf.
Ah, with Big Bad Wolf, who are now a trio, I think. But
really?
Sounding great, yeah. Oh,
they've got four people in their picture. I find that very disturbing. What's going? How come it's a trio now? Do you know anything?
I think Rob Luft used to be in it and isn't anymore, but they've kind of changed their sound a bit, but it's amazing stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I've been such a big fan of theirs. Not a big enough fan to know what's actually going on with the band. but yeah, the sounds that have come out of those 3/4 have been revelatory to me over the last couple of years. So I would definitely go and watch that if I
were. Yeah, that's going to be a great show. And of course, actually, I mean, we'll probably talk about education and stuff later, but Laura Jurd's also been tempted back on another day to run a workshop, which will be great, on improvisation based around women in jazz and the music of women in jazz, which is one of the themes of the Jazz Festival this year.
So how does that work, being a theme?
So I think as one of the ideas for booking was to try and, I mean, there's so many amazing female UK jazz artists out there, and it's just making sure they're given a good amount of slots at the festival. And as far as I know, I think that's kind of it. I know there's some talks as well based on, you know, the impact of women in jazz.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Because Izzy Barrett's coming down.
That's right. I think she's running the workshop with Laura, actually.
Oh, cool.
And she's got her all-female band Interchange.
Yes.
At the festival.
That's really cool. I have a fact for you.
Yes.
Manchester Jazz Festival was the first festival in Europe to have a 50-50 gender balance of its booking.
Wow.
Progressive.
That's a great thing. Yeah.
But this women in jazz theme is also a great thing.
Yeah.
So now that we've touched on it, the education, is that going on like in schools just at the same time that the festival goes on. How does it work?
So with the education side of things, what we've really tried to do is sort of just connect all the dots in Cambridge and make sure that people in education, young people, and also, you know, older people who are taking an interest in music are able to sort of access all these amazing things, because there's so many great musicians coming through the town and doing some workshops. It's just a case of making sure that everyone's sort of aware of what's going on and trying to get people involved. So we've got these workshops running. We've also got a school's big band project running, where I'm going to be sort of by proxy supporting some of the schools in the area and helping them get their big bands up to shape, so that, and they're going to be performing in a concert on one of the Sundays. And that's going to be followed by a workshop by the wonderful Ed Barber and his Blues and Roots ensemble.
Nice. That's amazing. So how would you go to one? A workshop.
So if you have a look on the website, all the workshops are listed, and you can just book tickets. If it's something that any of the listeners are interested in, then it is worth booking in advance, not only because you get given the music in advance and all the information, so you can sort of do some practice and there fully prepared, but also just so it doesn't sell out. I mean, there's some great stuff. Phrenesis are coming down to do an improvisation masterclass, which is going to be unbelievable. So I think Jasper Hoiby's in Cambridge twice that week. He's doing Planet B, and also Phrenesis will be there as well, who are, of course, you know, one of the world's leading trios.
Of course, with Ivo Neem, and I'm not going to be able to find it quick enough to remember the name of the third member of that trio. Such is the under-rehearsed, under-researched nature of the Jazz Podcast. But yeah, Phrenesis and Jasper, well worth seeing. And that it's really awesome that he's doing a workshop as well. Next to him on the brochure is Yaz Ahmed. That'd be cool.
That'd be amazing. She's actually with the University Jazz Orchestra. So that, I'm sure, will involve some new writing and some new arrangements that I'm sure she will have done. But her music's unbelievable. So if you haven't checked it out, it's worth getting hold of her album and hearing it. But I think, I'm sure that'll be an amazing event to get to.
That is also a podcast, if you're feeling like this is in fact the answer to all of your life's problems. I think that was about 8 months ago now, but there is an interview with Yaz buried in the back catalogue somewhere.
Oh, wow. I'll check that out.
Yeah, classy. Actually, it's a really great show. Yaz is ridiculously funny. Also, let's not... wait, where have you gone? I was just staring at... there we go. Elliot Galvin on Saturday the 17th. His trio is playing with the Sam Miles VJ Prakash Quintet.
Yeah, so I can't wait for this one, really. It's going to be really nice to me and Sam Miles, the tenor player, been writing a load of new music that we're going to air that night. And of course, with the gentle warm up for what's going to be an unbelievable show from the Elliot Galvin trio.
Sweet.
Who need no introduction, I'm sure, to most of the listeners.
Let's do a classy segue into talking about a few of the venues. Because you guys are playing at Stories Field Centre.
That's right. So this show's at Stories Fields. Now, Stories Fields is actually a brand new state-of-the-art concert hall, which has kind of popped up out of nowhere in Cambridge. I went in last year when I was looking at running some education things for the festival. I did a site visit when it was being built, and I actually haven't been back since it's been finished, but I've heard amazing things about it.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of all been very carefully acoustically designed. And there's three spaces in there, but the main concert hall or venue has a full glass back wall, which looks out over this amazing wildflower meadow, which has architectural interest. So they're not allowed to touch it. So it's this amazing space in the middle of the city that can't be developed on. So in the daytime, especially, you know, this space is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to play there. So yeah, I'm doing this show alongside Elliot's band, and also I'll be with the Brass Funkies. We'll be closing the festival on the Sunday night, which I'm just digging out the date. Sunday the 25th, which will be great. And that's, and we've got Three Step Maneuver playing before us as well, featuring Georgia Van Etten.
Wow. Nice. That seems spectacular knowledge.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, there's some, I mean, there's just the whole city comes alive really during the festival. There's so many different spaces, some specific music venues, and just lots of bars and kind of part-time music clubs as well.
It's such a different feeling when you have a jazz festival in a small city compared right. to, you know, for like, if I could, the best jazz festival I've ever been to was Kongsberg in Norway, because it's a tiny little town, but then, like you say, the whole place gets taken over by the festival, you know. Yeah, and every right. venue becomes the jazz festival.
Yeah, completely. And you can walk between venues, you know. It becomes almost like, not quite like something like North Sea in that way, that, you know, the venues are so close together, but you can go to a couple of gigs in a night quite easily. I mean, I know you can do that in London, of course, but it's great. And, you know, actually the tickets are relatively cheap for all the gigs, so it's a 45 minute train from London. It's actually quite doable to get to a great gig and not pay that much money and get home as well.
Here's a theory for you, one that I won't test for but I reckon there's quite a few gigs where it's cheaper to get the train to Cambridge than it would be to just stay in London and like pay extra.
I bet that's the thing. I mean, generally you're not paying much more than between £8 to £15.
Yeah,
for,
no, you're right, they're really
the gigs. And you know, book a ticket in advance and get up on the train.
Yeah,
and it's worth it.
Completely agree. Yeah, the small, because Manchester does it for me a bit in that sense, like it's small and you can walk around and you can see everything. And Cambridge, definitely. I mean, not that I have anything against like having a jazz festival in London, but it's just a completely different feeling because you have to mix with the non-jazz people of the world in a way that we don't have to in a...
Right, exactly.
You know, you can really immerse yourself. So just remind me, how... Like, who's to thank slash blame for this whole festival?
There is an absolutely amazing person called Roslyn Russell, and she has single-handedly set this festival up. She books the artists for it. She has help, but she doesn't really... I mean, people help her, but, I mean, she does the lion's share of this work all by herself. You know, she doesn't earn any money from it. She applies for all of the Arts Council funds, the ACE grants and everything herself. She's an absolute powerhouse. And she's made this into really a internationally recognised festival. So Roslyn Russell, an amazing, amazing woman.
Amazing. Yeah, there's no mention of her. She's obviously...
Right, exactly. But she would have built the website herself, I'm sure. Right. And she'd done everything. But yeah... A thankless task quite often.
Oh, absolutely, running a jazz festival.
Especially when, you know, the stress of having to fill the venues or lose money or lose sponsorship. And really, she just keeps going and going and going. It's quite incredible.
Yeah. Beyond words, that kind of level of commitment.
Yeah.
And you booked the education workshops yourself, is that true?
That's right, yeah. So okay. My relationship with the Cambridge Jazz Festival and sort of with Cambridgeshire is in an educational sort of format. I've been working with the Music Hub and with the Jazz Festival to set up the Cambridgeshire Youth Jazz Orchestra, which will be coming into force this year. Oh, and sort of linking that to the big band workshops that we talked about. And again, Roz is a big part of booking everything that goes on in the festival, but I'll be helping out oversee some of the workshops. And yeah, it's exciting. We're starting to sort of try and just link up all the interest in jazz in the county. I ran the Cambridge Youth Jazz Summer School for the first time this summer, which was a great success with some amazing people on board. Josh Blackmore was the drum tutor on it, Phil Stevenson on guitars, and Sam Miles on saxes and reeds.
That's awesome. I'd forgotten Josh Blackmore lives in / very near Cambridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. So there's also a great part of the website that's called Plan Your Visit. And it's like there's advice on like everywhere you can go, stuff to see, where to stay, recommendations on where to eat and drink, parking, cashless parking, pre-booked parking. Like your every possible need is absolutely taken care of here. This
right.
is,
as I said, Roz is a very thorough person. I'm sure she's thought of absolutely everything to.
It certainly looks that way.
Yeah.
Before we go, let's talk about one more gig for two reasons. First of all, what's the Cambridge University Wine Bar like?
Cambridge University Wine Bar is bang in the middle of town. And I'll be honest, I don't actually know much about it as a venue, but I know that they've been working on trying to get more and more live music there in sort of recent times. There's a jazz jam that's kicked off there, which I think is going to be the mainstay town jazz jam now. So that's kind of all I know about it, really.
Okay. Well, it's also a wine bar.
What's the gig that you're...
Oh, yeah. The one I'm tactically picking on here is the Lydian Collective.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I'm going to read out off the website, an exciting four-piece instrumental group formed by composer-producer Aaron Wheeler and fellow producer and guitarist Todd Baker, described as blissfully different. Their refreshing band of original fusion-based music is rich in harmony and groove. There's some other... You know, there's some more descriptions which I will stop reading. Sophie Holloway is on drums. We interviewed her a while ago. A very wildly popular shows, actually. And the talented Ida Hollis on bass. Well, the Lydian Collective, I'm gonna play one of their tracks, 31, from their new album Adventure, to finish. And then I'm gonna publish the show, and then I'm gonna text Sophie and see if it's okay, because if not, then this is all going to go horribly, horribly wrong. But that's the master plan.
Fingers crossed, Rob.
Yeah, exactly. Always, always well planned in advance. Well, Veej, thank you so much for coming to rationalise and explain all of the amazing things that are going on at this festival.
Pleasure as always, Rob. Just before I go, I might just mention a couple of other things that
people
might be interested in. So Fofola are going to be there, who are an amazing band, who definitely don't have perhaps the following or recent following that they deserve, but they've brought out a new album, or are bringing it out pretty soon. Their album launches in London, I think next week or the week after, but they're definitely one to watch.
Okay, this is great. This is like proper inside like Veej's top tips now. This is great.
Yeah, and I could do a couple more quickly.
Oh, yes, please. That would be great.
I mean, there's so much there. Kit Downs has released an album.
His first
album on ECM.
Yes.
Which is amazing. He's an ECM artist now. And it's called Obsidian, and definitely worth listening to if people have. Not sure most people have checked it out by now, but obviously it's solo organ. I think there's going to be some Tom Challenger sax on there as well, but that's going to be at one of the Cambridge colleges, which will be a pretty special gig, I think.
Yeah, that's at the Gonville and Cassius College.
Yeah, Gonville and Keys College is the hardest one to say. Good, no, and that's bang in the middle of town, and it'll be pretty special, and also a really small, quite intimate gig, I think. So That's one for people to check out if they can. There's Zenel, who are a really young, very scarily good trio, who I've checked out a couple of times. I think I saw them at Wilderness this summer for the second time. And, yeah, they just sound great. Some really new sounds coming out.
Awesome.
And they're with World Service Project, who, are, again, probably need no introduction to most people.
Ah, yes, our old friend Raph Clarkson, who
absolutely
features on the How to Pay Your Rent, How to Make Your Debut Album podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just in case, you know, you want some hilarious advice on how to pay your rent or make an album. Finney Beerman as well. I meant to mention Finney's gig.
Yeah.
And then didn't. And now I have at the Locker Cafe.
Perfect.